Comedy News is back, baby. Today's a lot better than yesterday's podcast. The late night shows talked about the Oscars. Jimmy Kimmel pointed out the ratings for the Oscars plummeted from 23 million last year to less than 10 million this year, and asked, how can something so woke put so many people to sleep? I've been staring at that joke for like an hour, and it has really, really grown on me. Great job. More from Kimmel. This was the Oscars that finally answered the question, what happens when you don't cut off acceptance speeches? Turns out they go on for a very long time. Kimmel, for whatever reason, the awards were held at Union Station downtown, which is the closest many of these stars have ever gotten to public transportation. Fallon, the ceremony was watched by a record low 9.9 million people. Yeah, 9.9 million. That's like taking everybody who watched Mank and adding 9.8 million. Mank is very good, Jimmy Fallon. I'll just have you know. Fallon, I guess most people thought the show was a little sluggish and at times a bit uncomfortable. It was as if the whole ceremony had just gotten its second Pfizer shot. Fallon, I guess the train station made sense because I fell asleep 30 minutes in. When I woke up, I had no idea where I was. If you missed it, Daniel Kaluuya made a sex joke. He had just won the Best Supporting Actor for his role in the biographical drama Judas and the Black Messiah. And during his speech, he said, you got to celebrate life, man. We're breathing, walking. It's incredible. It's incredible. Like, it's incredible. My mom met dad. They had sex. It's amazing. His mom did not appreciate the joke. So Trevor Noah said, Daniel Kaluuya, my friend, became the first person to get an Oscar and a beatdown from his mama on the same night. You can't be saying sex in front of African parents. In fact, I'm sure the only reason she didn't whip Daniel's butt right there was because there were just too many white people in attendance. Fallon, his mom was like, this is so embarrassing. And he was like, relax, no one saw it. That's great. Kimmel, it was a historic evening, you know, before last night. An Oscar had never been given to a still photo of Anthony Hopkins before. Kimmel, there were some surprises, notably in the category of best actor. Everybody thought that would go to the late Chadwick Boseman. They even saved that category for the end of the show, assuming it would be a big emotional moment to wrap it up instead of Chadwick Boseman. Anthony Hopkins won Best Actor for playing a man with dementia in The Father, and he was so committed to his role that he forgot to show up for the Oscars. Kimmel, and this is true, he was reportedly asleep when he won, which is not a great sign for network television when they say, hey, Anthony, you know you might win tonight? And he's like, eh, I'll just watch it on YouTube tomorrow. From CNBC, which is your home for comedy news, some members of Saturday Night Live are confused and annoyed at the guest host announcement. Did you hear who's hosting Saturday Night Live on May 8th? Elon Musk. You know Elon, he's the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX. He's one of those billionaire dudes. Some people have criticized Musk for his comments on national stay-at-home orders, in which he compared it in a tweet to a, quote, de facto house arrest. Some criticism of Elon Musk came from the cast of Saturday Night Live. Yeah. In an Instagram story, Bowen Yang responded to one of Elon Musk's tweets about his appearance. On Saturday, Elon had tweeted, let's find out just how live Saturday Night Live really is. Bowen Yang first reacted with a frowning face. Then he posted Musk's tweet with a message saying, what the F does that even mean? Now, how about Adi Bryant? She subtly criticized Musk on her Instagram story. She shared a tweet from former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. In it, Sanders criticized the wealth inequality in the country, noting that the 50 wealthiest people in the country own more wealth than some 165 Americans, and he called it a moral obscenity. That's all she did, just left that out there. The Washington Post chimed in, saying SNL announced Elon Musk as a host. The disgust on Twitter may be just what the show is after. The frontman for Eve 6, some sort of musical establishment, tweeted, Elon Musk is incapable of being funny, which in of itself is funny, but I'm sure SNL will figure out a way to make it not funny. Ooh, zing. Desus and Mero writer Josh Gondelman said, Elon Musk hosting SNL is huge for guys still making That's What She Said jokes. Oh, should I leave? Who thought they'd be great at hosting SNL? One Twitter user said, I'd quite literally rather watch paint dry than watch Elon Musk on SNL. Others took aim at Lorne Michaels calling him, quote, the undefeated bootlicker, and suggesting that Lorne Michaels, quote, needs to retire and NBC needs to clean house completely. Guys, is there a world where you think Lorne Michaels and Saturday Night Live are not very successful? I'm sorry you don't like the guest host. You know what you could do? Don't watch it. Just don't watch it. More names have been added to the Selena Gomez-hosted concert Vax Live, the concert to reunite the world. Some of those names include Jimmy Kimmel and David Letterman. The other names, Jennifer Lopez, Eddie Vedder, Foo Fighters. Ben Affleck, Chrissy Teigen, some others, but David Letterman and Jimmy Kimmel, also Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, which is great because I'm also the writer on a podcast called Palace Intrigue, where we talk about the royal family every day for 5 minutes. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. Meghan and Harry stuff? Love it. Bring it on. But why is David Letterman appearing at this? Jimmy Kimmel, I can kind of see. He hangs out and he's kind of Hollywood-y, but David Letterman is a recluse. Why is David Letterman doing this? Very suspicious. It's called Vax Live, the concert to reunite the world. It'll stream Saturday, May 8th. From Screen Rant. Now stay with me here because I have to break this down for you. From Screen Rant, the headline. How Seinfeld's Jason Alexander thinks George would handle the pandemic. Straightforward, right? How Seinfeld's Jason Alexander thinks George would handle the pandemic. The column this is in is called TLDR, which, you know, you internet people, that's shorthand for too long didn't read. So it's a too long didn't read, and we're trying to answer the question, how Seinfeld's Jason Alexander thinks George would handle the pandemic. Seems like a straightforward question and a straightforward answer. But talk about padding a column. Guys, come on, especially under TLDR, this is what they handed in on Screen Rant. You ready? Jason Alexander shares his thoughts on how his character George Costanza on Seinfeld would react to the pandemic. The hit comedy, co-created by Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld, ran for 9 seasons on NBC starting in 1989, revolving around the daily lives of 4 friends living in New York City. The show stars Seinfeld, playing a fictionalized version of himself. Alexander is his neurotic, insecure best friend. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is his former girlfriend, Elaine Bennis. And Michael Richards as Cosmo Kramer, his wacky rogue neighbor across the hall. Is this like an 8th grader's term paper where the teacher said you have to get to 1,000 words? Are they just padding this? Seinfeld is also known for having many memorable recurring characters, including Newman, Jackie Childs, David Putty and the Soup Nazi. I'm surprised they didn't explain all those. Oh, there's more. The series has often been described as a show about nothing, refusing to have any episode where any of the characters learn life lessons or achieve personal growth, and instead gained its humor exploring the minute aspects and indifference of life no more evident than the character of George Costanza, the character who's loosely based off Larry David, is known for being self-loathing and eccentric, going to extreme lengths to not look like those traits, especially when he's lying about something. The role garnered Alexander much acclaim, including a Screen Actors Guild Award, nominations for numerous Emmy and Golden Globe Awards. Pad your articles much? Are you kidding me with this? TLDR? Again, we're just trying to find out how Seinfeld's Jason Alexander thinks George would handle the pandemic. We're 2 full paragraphs in, and so far we've just been told an 8th grader's essay, 5,000 words on what Seinfeld about. Let's continue. In an interview with Us Weekly, Alexander reveals how he thinks George Costanza would handle the current pandemic. The show ended with all 4 characters being sentenced for a year in prison for making a carjacking. Since then, the characters' fates have been mentioned during an episode of Larry David's subsequent HBO comedy Curb Your Enthusiasm, with George striking it rich for inventing a toilet app before losing it all in the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. Alexander's comment where George would be can be seen below. That took me 2.5 minutes just to get to this. Now, since you've sat through all that and you want to know how Jason Alexander thinks George would handle the pandemic, from Screen Rant, we've finally gotten to it. Jason Alexander says, you'd have to think today because apparently he made all his money. If you saw the Curb reunion, he made all his money with the iToilet app and he lost to Bernie Madoff. So my imagining is that George is probably quarantined in with his parents and refuses to leave the room. He only eats through some sort of food app and will not come out of his room. His parents are wearing 15 masks. He was crazy about lupus. Imagine what he'd do with COVID. He would not be weathering this pandemic very well, I'm sure. And that's why you should never do a Seinfeld reunion. It's comedy's top dog late night edition. This week, you're deciding between Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert. Heard from Steve Fell, who said Stephen Colbert, period, hands down, no debate. Lane Spurka said, going with Colbert here because Kimmel's show is called Jimmy Kimmel Live, even though it has been taped for the past 4 presidential administrations. Speaking of truth and labels, are late night shows even late night TV anymore? For most of us, they should be called video clip highlights from the night before, or even best TV jokes conveniently presented by your favorite new morning podcast. Thank you. Lane Spurka knows what to do. If you think you've got Insta game, go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News and comment it up. From The Guardian, a German police bomb squad called to investigate a suspected hand grenade in a Bavarian forest has revealed that the object was a rubber sex toy. A jogger reported finding the bag containing the device on Monday in a forest. When the bomb squad arrived and inspected the contents of the bag, parental discretion seriously advised for the next sentence, they determined it was a rubber grenade replica. The condoms and lubricant in the bag helped point to the device's intended use. But police said an internet search confirmed the suspicion. There are actually sex toys in the form of hand grenades. Who knew? I sure didn't. Whitney Cummings enjoyed her time in San Antonio, says thecron.com. She posted on Instagram about her visit to Little Death at St. Mary Street, thanking the wine bar and San Antonio for the art that spoke to her blue-haired self. Yeah, she's got blue hair now. She said, "Thank you, San Antonio, for having topless blue-haired mermaids everywhere." She also hooked up an audience member who said he had never touched fake boobs before. Whitney allowed the audience member on stage to feel her up. It was over her sweater, the article points out. Whitney Cummings said, "This English silver fox is 65 and has never touched fake boobs. We made his nightmare come true, and no, he did not mind the gap." Are you psyched for the Idaho Comedy Festival? This is May 20th to the 22nd. And the reason I'm laughing is the Idaho Comedy Festival self-describes as the Idaho Comedy Festival started, as many large festivals do, as a joke. In February of this year, Jerry Seinfeld enemy Donnie Zoldan, owner of Stand Up New York, tweeted out a comedy festival in Boise, Idaho. Within 12 hours, the tweet spread like wildfire. Comedians from all over New York, LA, Chicago, Austin, and the world reached out to perform. Meanwhile, hundreds of comedy fans from Idaho, Washington, and Oregon caught wind and want to be there. Within 24 hours, multiple venues and small businesses in Boise answered the call. Let's bring comedy back. So here we are. After countless hours on the phone, Zoom meetings, and scouting the Treasure Valley, they are bringing the Idaho Comedy Festival to Boise. Well, that should be really exciting. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. If you like what I do and you want to support the show, a good way to do that is hit the tip jar at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Can you hear that? The ice has melted again. What's going on this week, Donuts Chain? Why does the ice keep melting? See you tomorrow.